Porter. Dinnert.
Here.
Drews.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Manning.
Here.
DeSoto.
Here. At this time, after calling meeting order, I would like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants please identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Participants should also remember to unmute their microphones only when speaking. The meeting is being recorded and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording, do an online search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal. Follow the link and select the name of the board. If board members on the board's Legislative Oversight Committee are participating in the meeting remotely, please acknowledge you're present at this time.
Gordo is here.
Very good. Thank you. All right. We'd like to approve the agenda. Do we have any comments, questions, concerns about the agenda? We have a motion to approve.
So moved, Gennert.
Second, Bernhard.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. At this time, we have a public comment period. And I'll remind those people that are choosing to make a public comment at this point in time, identify yourself. Speak only to the issues at hand, and do not repeat yourself. If anyone is following up to also make comments on the same issue, make new comments, not repeating what has already been said. Thank you. Are there any public comments?
Sir,
you
skipped
item number
first.
I did.
You approved the minutes from last meeting.
Well, I was hoping that we would just move on. We have a motion to approve the minutes of September 28
and 29. So
moved, Bernhard. So moved, Jones.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Item number five. Let's go with that one. We did four already.
Public comment?
And nobody had a comment.
Do we need to give a moment?
We can pause again. Any public comments? Hearing none.
All right, before we move on to item number five, I'd like to introduce, we have a new board member with us, Mr. Barry Drews. If you have anything you want to say or tell us about yourself, we're excited to have you on the board.
Okay, thanks, Tina. So I am Gary Drews. I live in Rapid City, formerly a peer. Spent a good share of my life in public service, both all federal, state, and local level, and started out working for a congressman back 50-some years ago. Also served 20 years as the deputy state auditor, about 12 years as mayor of Pierre. Now serve as a county commissioner in Pennington County. Been doing that for about 5 years. But I've always had a passion for water and water projects. Ever since I had an opportunity as I started out as a journalist, and at that time I had opportunities to interview Joe Grimes, who was the water person in South Dakota back at that time. And so he kind of turned me on to my interest of water projects and delivering Missouri River water throughout the state. So that's kind of my background, where my passion lies. I look forward to serving him. Welcome.
Very good.
All right. Item number five, and I'd like to apologize to everybody in the room and online. These difficulties, I think, were somewhat stemmed by myself, and so sorry, and thank you for your patience. We will move on to the state water plan applications. Water projects, which will require state funding or need state support for categorical grant or loan funding, need to be on the state water plan. At its November planning meeting, the Board of Water and Natural Resources approves projects for placement onto next year's state water facilities plan. Placement of a project on the state water plan by the board provides no guarantee of funding. The projects placed onto the meeting plan at this meeting will remain on the facilities plan through December of 2025. There were 43 state water plan applications received by the October 1st, 2023 deadline. Those projects are shown on the map on the screen, which was included in the board packet, and we will show a list of the projects as I present them. Our first application is from Aberdeen. It's for a water tower and transmission line project to construct a new 1.5 million gallon storage tower and approximately 15,000 feet of transmission main to connect the tower to the distribution system. Estimated funding of $10,870,000. Next is from Alcester. This is for improvements to their wastewater collection system to replace approximately 7,400 feet of clay sanitary sewer in the western portion of the city. Estimated funding, $3,772,400. Next, we have two applications from Apple Springs Sanitary District. The first is for the wastewater collection and treatment system purchase. This would be to purchase and assume operation of the existing collection and treatment system that serves the subdivision. I would note this project, due to construction timing of the original system, is not eligible for placement on the Clean Water SRF intended use plan. Estimated project funding needed, $1,319,000. The water supply and distribution system purchase, again, to purchase the existing operation of the existing water supply and distribution system that serves the Apple Springs subdivision. This project, again, is not eligible to be placed on the drinking water SRF intended use plan. Again, because of the construction period, and this would be a system purchase that is not eligible under EPA rules. Estimated funding necessary, $643,000. Next, we have two applications from Clear Lake. The first for wastewater improvements to improve their discharge and meet their discharge limits. Project would make upgrades to allow the treatment system to treatment for ammonia and potentially other nutrients, and would also make some storm sewer improvements within the community. Estimated funding, $11,674,600. Clear Lake's water distribution system would be for replacement of 11,000 feet of cast iron water main in the northwest and southeast portions of the community. Estimated funding, $5,524,200. Next, we have two applications from Colton. First, for their 4th Street water infrastructure improvements to replace approximately 1,200 feet of cast iron water main on 4th Street. Estimated funding, $765,063. And the 4th Street sewer infrastructure to replace approximately 550 feet of sanitary sewer. Estimated funding of $378,408. Our next application is from the Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System. This is funding for a feasibility study to determine potential source water capacity and distribution needs for central and southern portions of eastern South Dakota. There are currently 29 systems in this region collaborating on the study. Staff will recommend this project to the board for the State Water Resources Management System list inclusion later in today's board meeting. We are not recommending this project be placed on the State Water Facilities Plan, and at this time, this project is not eligible for placement on the Drinking Water SRF Intended Use Plan. Board will hear more about this during item 9. Estimated funding, $1 million. Next project is from Deadwood. This is for installation of approximately 4,500 feet of water main to provide a loop in the city's distribution system along Highway 85. It will increase redundancy. A booster station would also be installed to increase pressure for the adjacent area. Estimated funding, $2,897,000. Two applications from Elkton. The first is for their water improvements, phase 3, replacing approximately 6,000 feet of cast iron water main pipe on streets north of the railroad and east of Antelope Street. Estimated funding, $2,025,720. Elkton's wastewater improvements, phase 3, is for replacement of approximately 7,400 feet of clay sanitary sewer, again on streets north of the railroad and east of Antelope Street. Estimated funding, $3,273,279. Next, we have an application from Gary for wastewater improvements for replacement or relining of approximately 9,100 feet of clay sanitary sewer upgrades to the treatment ponds to include control structures, piping, sludge removal, installation of riprap, and gravel surfacing roads between the ponds. Estimated funding, $4,665,164. Gayville has submitted an application for water system improvements to include replacement of 2,300 feet of existing water main, construction of a 40,000-gallon ground storage tank, and making repairs to its existing elevated storage tank. Estimated funding, $2,650,000. Harrisburg has submitted a funding application for their northeast sewer extension. This would install 26,000 feet of new sanitary sewer trunk line and a lift station northeast of the current city limits, and would convert an existing lift station to pump the flow from the new sewer basin to their wastewater treatment facility. Estimated funding, $36,511,600. Iroquois has submitted a project for replacement of the main lift station and force main, wastewater treatment improvements to valves and concrete structures, and relining or replacement of manholes in the collection system. Estimated funding, $3,143,000. We have two applications from Lake Preston. The first is their wastewater improvements, Phase 2B, for replacement of approximately 6,200 feet of sanitary sewer and 2,000 feet of storm sewer. Estimated funding, $3,987,000. Second Lake Preston application is for drinking water improvements to replace approximately 11,900 feet of cast iron or asbestos cement pipe. Estimated funding, $4,574,850. Lincoln County Rural Water System has submitted a project to make improvements in the western area of their system and a bulk water connection. They would install a new meter building to provide a second bulk connection for Lewis and Clark Rural Water System, as well as about 5.25 miles of piping along 270th Street and 467th Avenue to connect the meter building to the distribution system. Estimated funding, $3,078,000. Next two applications are from Madison. Egan Avenue drinking water improvements, replacing approximately 3,500 feet of cast iron water main. Estimated funding, $2,645,916. And Egan Avenue wastewater improvements, for replacement of approximately 3,300 feet of clay sanitary sewer. Estimated funding, $2,692,547. Mobridge is proposing wastewater treatment improvements to include construction of new final clarifiers, repurposing of existing clarifiers for a new treatment process, installation of sludge dewatering and biosolids equipment. Estimated funding, $6,350,000. The Niche Sanitary District has submitted an application to take the district's on-site septic systems for each home, which are beginning to fail, and would install a centralized collection system and connect to the nearby Somerset wastewater system and treatment facility. Estimated funding, $1,696,110. Oklahoma has submitted two applications, the first for the water supply improvements. The city's existing Missouri River surface water intake is experiencing sedimentation and needs to be moved to remain in use. The city is considering either movement of that intake or a potential connection to West River Lyman Jones Rural Water System as a bulk water supply to meet the community's water needs. Estimated funding, $6,890,000. Second Oklahoma application is for wastewater treatment and lift station improvements. The treatment facility improvements include pond embankment restoration, new pond transfer structures, and a primary pond influent pipe replacement. Estimated funding, $2,605,000. Next two applications are from Parker. First for their drinking water phase 6 improvements, replacing and looping of approximately 7,600 feet of water main. Estimated funding, $2,076,633. Parker's wastewater phase 6 improvements are for replacement approximately 3,000 feet of sanitary sewer and 4,000 feet of storm sewer throughout the community. Estimated funding, $1,688,419. Pier has submitted a request for landfill cell number 4 construction, which would be a new landfill cell for solid waste disposal. Estimated funding, $1,608,120. Platt submitted a request for water storage tank rehabilitation of both their ground storage and elevated storage tanks to include upgrades to the stairs, hatches, and piping, as well as coatings for the interior and exterior of the tanks. Estimated funding, $370,000. Presho has submitted a sanitary and storm sewer improvement request for installation of approximately 240 feet of sanitary sewer and 1,700 feet of storm sewer and inlets in a few locations throughout the community. Estimated funding, $1,055,930. Seneca has submitted a water meter and looping project for replacement of all their existing water meters with a new remote read drive-by system and billing software, as well as installation of 2,000 feet of new pipe to loop the existing dead-end lines. Estimated funding, $440,800. Sioux Rural Water System has submitted their 2025 water system improvements. These would include new pipeline construction to parallel existing lines to increase capacity, pump replacement at the Sioux Water Treatment Plant, installation of new wells, construction of a ground storage reservoir, and the connection of the Pelican Plaza residential area to the Sioux Rural Water System. Estimated funding necessary, $10,986,000. Springfield has submitted a request for water, wastewater, and stormwater improvements. This includes replacement of approximately 2,700 feet of water main, 1,500 feet of sanitary sewer, and 1,500 feet of storm sewer on College, Elm, and 9th Streets. Estimated total funding, $3,275,000. Valley Heights Sanitary District has submitted a request, a state water plan application for water system acquisition and improvements. This would include the purchase and assuming operation of the existing water supply and distribution system that serves the Valley Heights subdivision. This purchase is, again, not eligible to be placed on the drinking water SRF intended use plan. The improvements to the existing system are needed after the system purchase and would likely include upgrades to pumps in the Box Elder booster station, which provides the system's water, removal of the storage tank, and improvements to the distribution system. These system improvements that would be necessary are eligible and are recommended for inclusion on the drinking water intended use plan coming up in item 8. Total funding, $3,339,000. Next is two applications from Vermilion. First is their Tom Street Lift Station Sanitary Sewer Basin Extension, which would install approximately 4,600 feet of new sanitary sewer and connect into the Tom Street Lift Station area, $2,511,800. And their Northeast Sanitary Sewer Basin Extension, which would install approximately 4,000 feet of new sanitary sewer trunk line, a lift station, and 400 feet of force main in the northeast area of the northeast of the current city limits for future development. Estimated funding, $4,211,500. Viberg has submitted an industrial area sanitary sewer extension project for installation of approximately 750 feet of new sanitary sewer trunk line, 500 feet of storm sewer in the northeast portion of the community. Estimated funding, $230,000. Wagner has submitted a project for replacement of utilities along Highway 46, approximately 4,300 feet of water main, 550 feet of sanitary sewer line would be replaced along Highway 46. Estimated funding, $1,210,000. Next, we have Wessington Springs for a water supply improvement. The city's water source and treatment plant are in need of extensive repairs to continue providing potable water. The city is considering either source water improvements and treatment upgrades or connection to the Mid-Dakota Rural Water System for bulk water supply to serve that community's water needs. Estimated funding, $10,280,000. The Western Dakota Regional Water System has submitted an application for bulk service to New Underwood. This would be creation of a new public water system with the installation of nearly 20 miles of 12-inch water main, construction of a 2 million gallon water storage reservoir, 2 meter vault facilities, and 2 booster pump stations. Purpose of the new water system would be to provide a regional bulk water supply, provide water from the Rapid City metro region as far east as New Underwood. This would alleviate some water capacity issues of other systems and improve water quality provided to New Underwood. Estimated funding $25,015,000. So we have an application from White for wastewater treatment facility improvements to include influent flow monitoring equipment and the replacement of pond level control structures and valving. Estimated funding $316,135. Our last two applications are from Worthing, first being for sanitary sewer improvements, replacing approximately 4,900 feet of clay sanitary sewer. Estimated funding $2,506,000. The second Worthing application is for water main improvements, placing approximately 4,400 feet of asbestos cement water main. Estimated funding $2,615,000. With that, staff would recommend placing 42 projects onto the 2024 State Water Facilities Plan. Again, the one project not recommended for placement is the Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System, which we will ask the board to take action on during the SWRM's recommendations in item 9.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Ginner.
Second, Bernhard.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comment or question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, Doc.
On the original diagram that you showed on the board,
map.
The map?
Yep.
They put it back up?
Yep. Working on it? Yes.
What's the significance of the crosshatched section in the center of the state?
Yep. That crosshatched section in the center of the state is the Pier Landfill collection service area. So Pier's landfill is in the city of Pier, owned and operated by the city of Pier. However, the service area that their waste goes into that landfill includes that crosshatched area.
Second question, if you add up all the requests, what is the total amount?
$204.3 million. I was ready for you.
Can't get by.
You've asked me too many times.
Thank you, Andy.
Any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Item number 6. Tina.
All right. Good afternoon, Chairman Soholt and members of the board. Pursuant to the Administrative Rules of South Dakota, Sections 7405.08.18, 7405.11.17, 7405.07.15.01, and 7405.10.12.02, the Board of Water and Natural Resources shall set the interest rates for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, Drinking Water State Revolving Fund, Consolidated Water Facilities Construction Program, and Solid Waste Management Program, respectively. On the screen now are the current interest rates that were adopted on November 3rd, 2022. Interest rates shall be based on the following criteria: current market rates, rates secured on state-issued matching funds, and current demand for program funds. The next slide shows the various market rates as of October 2023. Our program likes to be similar to the USDA rural development rates, as they provide funding for projects similar to what we provide funding for. As of October 2023, USDA interest rates are a market rate of 3.875%, an intermediate rate of 3.125%, and a poverty rate of 2.375%. On the next slide, we can see the history of the rural development rates versus our 30-year SRF interest rates. The state has tried to stay between rural development's market rate and intermediate rates. In the past year, rural development has raised their rates by 0.38%. Looking at market rates, so the rates secured on our state-issued matching bonds and the current demand for programs, we are proposing to raise the interest rates by 0.5%. The following are the proposed interest rates. Staff is proposing the following interest rates for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Program. For conventional loans, interest rates will be 3.25% for loans with a term of up to 10 years, which consists of a 3.0% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. 3.5% for loans with a term greater than 10 years up to a maximum of 20 years, which consists of a 3.25% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. And 3.75% for loans with a term greater than 20 years up to a maximum of 30 years, which consists of a 3.5% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. For non-point source watershed incentive loans, rates will be 2.5% for loans with a term of up to 10 years, which consists of a 2.25% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge, 2.75% for loans with a term greater than 10 years up to a maximum of 20 years, which consists of a 2.5% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge, and 3% for loans with a term greater than 20 years up to a maximum of 30 years, which consists of a 2.75% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. The interest rate for interim financing will be 2.5% for a term up to 5 years with no administrative surcharge component. The interest rates established above would only apply to loans awarded after our November 8th, 2023 meeting, pursuant to applications submitted after October 1st, 2023. Staff recommendation is to approve a resolution adopting new interest rates for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Program.
Clarify, we need six.
We'll have six different interest rate resolutions to adopt.
Okay, so this is the first one.
This is the first one.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Bernhard.
So moved. Second, Jones.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
All right, we're going to move on to the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Program. Staff is proposing the following interest rates for the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Program. For conventional loans, interest rates will be 3.25% for loans with a term of up to 10 years, which consists of a 3.0% interest rate and 0.25% administrative surcharge. 3.5% for loans with a term greater than 10 years up to a maximum of 20 years, which consists of a 3.25% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge, and 3.75% for loans with a term greater than 20 years up to a maximum of 30 years, which consists of a 3.5% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. For loans to disadvantaged communities, rates will be 3.05% for loans up to 30 years for communities with a median household income, MHI, between 80% to 100% of the statewide MHI. The rate consists of a 3.25% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. 3.25% for loans up to 30 years for communities with an MHI between 60 and up to 80% of the statewide MHI. The rate consists of a 3.0% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. 0% for loans up to 30 years for communities with an MHI less than 60% of the statewide MHI. And 2.5% for loans up to 10 years for communities with an MHI between 60% to 80% of the statewide MHI. The rate consists of a 2.25% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. The interest rate for interim financing will be 2.5% for a term up to 5 years with no administrative surcharge component. The interest rates established above apply only to loans awarded after November 8, 2023, pursuant to applications submitted after October 1, 2023. Staff recommendation is to approve a resolution adopting new interest rates for the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Program.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Lanning.
Second, Jones.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number three.
All right. Staff is proposing the following interest rates for the Consolidated Water Facilities Construction Program. A 3.25% for loans with a term up to 10 years. A 3.5% for loans with a term greater than 10 years up to a maximum of 20 years, and 3.75% for loans with a term greater than 20 years up to a maximum of 30 years. The interest rates established above only apply to loans awarded after November 8, 2023, pursuant to applications submitted after October 1, 2023. Staff recommendation is to approve a resolution adopting new interest rates for the Consolidated Water Facilities Construction Program.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Bernhard.
Second, Bernhard.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item four.
Staff is proposing the following interest rates for the Solid Waste Management Program. 3.25% for loans with a term up to 10 years, and 3.5% for loans with a term greater than 10 years up to a maximum of 20 years. The interest rates established would only apply to loans awarded after November 8, 2023, pursuant to applications submitted after October 1, 2023. Staff recommendation is to approve a resolution adopting new interest rates for the Solid Waste Management Program.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Drews.
Second, Jones.
We have a motion and a second. Any comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
All right. I'm going to go into a little bit of background about our last two interest rate proposals. In 2021, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, BIL, was signed into law. This law invests more than $50 billion over the following 5 years in EPA water infrastructure programs, including the SRF programs. For South Dakota, from 2022 through 2026, we are estimated an additional $55 million in clean water SRF, BIL supplemental grant funding, and $112.8 million in drinking water SRF BIL supplemental grant funding. The BIL also included monies for both drinking water and clean water SRFs for emerging contaminant funding, and included, which is estimated to be over $43.1 million. Additionally, BIL provided money for lead service line replacement, and the South Dakota funding is estimated at $142 million over that five-year period. However, with these allocations, there are some strings attached. For the lead service line replacement, 49% of the money must be given as subsidy, and all of the subsidy must go to a disadvantaged community. The rest of the money must be given out as an SRF loan. Staff is recommending that loans in this program receive a 0% interest rate. This will provide communities an incentive and not a liability to provide the service and meet the goals of the program. Additionally, the BIL codified the Build America, Buy America, BABA requirements. These requirements will not terminate after the five-year period of BIL funding. This law requires that all projects that receive direct federal funding meet the following conditions. All construction materials used in the project are produced in the United States. All manufacturing processes for construction materials occurs in the United States. Construction materials includes iron and steel, lumber, sheetrock, and manufactured items. Luckily, not all of our SRF funds come directly from federal grants. We utilize principal forgiveness and interest repaid by borrowers, investment earnings and bond proceeds, and bond proceeds. So BABA will not apply to all SRF loans. We need to have SRF loans in an amount equal to federal grants, both base and BIL supplemental grants, that are subject to BABA. Program staff are going to identify BABA-friendly projects, such as water and sewer line replacements, water reservoirs, and wastewater lagoon projects, and avoid mechanical treatment systems and lift pump stations that may have multiple mechanical components, which may be difficult to certify as BABA compliant. To assist those that will be subject to BABA, we are proposing a 0.25 reduction in loan interest rates. Eventually, as BABA requirements become more mainstream, we will likely dissolve this extra incentive. But as there is still a lot of unknowns, we would like to offer this incentive to borrowers. With that, staff is proposing the following interest rates for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Program for conventional loan borrowers subject to the Build America, Buy America Public Law 117-58, also known as BABA. For conventional loans, interest rates for loan borrowers subject to BABA will be 3.0% for loans with a term up to 10 years, which consists of a 2.75% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge, 3.25% for loans with a term greater than 10 years up to a maximum of 20 years, which consists of a 3.0% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge, and a 3.5% for loans with a term greater than 20 years up to a maximum of 30 years, which consists of a 3.25% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. The interest rates established apply only to loans awarded after November 8, 2023, pursuant to applications submitted after October 1st, 2023. Just a note on the BABA incentive, this will be only on conventional loans and will not be combined with the non-point source incentive, nor will there be interim financing BABA incentives. Staff recommendation is to approve a resolution adopting new interest rates for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Program for conventional loan borrowers subject to the Build America, Buy America Public Law 117-58, also known as BABA provisions.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Move to approve, Jones.
Second, Lanning.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional comment or discussion? I was going to ask if you could repeat that, but I won't.
I got one more to go.
All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Part 6.
Item 6 is the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Program. Interest rates for borrowers subject to the Build America, Buy America Public Law 117-58, also known as BABA. For conventional loans for borrowers subject to BABA, interest rates will be 3.0% for loans with terms up to 10 years, which consists of a 2.75% interest rate and 0.25% administrative surcharge, 3.25% for loans with a term greater than 10 years, up to a maximum of 20 years, which consists of a 3.0% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge, and 3.5% for loans with a term greater than 20 years up to a maximum of 30 years, which consists of a 3.25% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. For loans to disadvantaged communities subject to BABA, rates will be 3.25% for loans up to 30 years for communities with an MHI between 80% to 100% of the statewide MHI. The rates consist of a 3.0% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. 3% for loans up to 30 years for communities with an MHI between 60% to 80% of the statewide MHI. The rate consists of a 2.75% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. We will continue with the 0% for loans up to 30 years for communities with an MHI less than 60% of the statewide MHI. And 2.25% for loans up to 10 years for communities with an MHI between 60% to 80% of the statewide MHI. The rate consists of a 2% interest rate and a 0.25% administrative surcharge. Additionally, a 0% interest rate for loans used to replace lead service lines that receives loan proceeds from the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund lead service line replacement funding made available through Public Law 117-58, the bipartisan infrastructure law. Just to note again on this BABA incentive, interim financing will not have a BABA incentive rate. The interest rates established above will only apply to loans awarded after November 8, 2023, pursuant to applications submitted after October 1, 2023. Staff recommendation is to approve a resolution adopting new interest rates for the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Program borrowers, subject to the Build America, Buy America Public Law 117-58, also known as BABA.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Bernard hereby moves approval.
Second, Gennard.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving to item number 7. I will begin the public hearing that has been advertised to begin at 1 o'clock. The purpose of the hearing is to receive public input and adopt the fiscal year 2024 intended use plans for the Clean Water and Drinking Water State Revolving Fund programs. The intended use plans identify how the funds for each program will be used during the upcoming year. Each intended use plan includes a project priority list, and projects must be included on this list in order to receive an SRF loan. The intended use plan each include a bipartisan infrastructure law addendum to the proposed 2024 Clean Water SRF, Drinking Water SRF intended use plans for requirement and specific uses for the funds for the SRF programs through the BIL funds. Andy Brule with Division of Financial and Technical Assistance will introduce the Clean Water SRF intended use plan. Andy.
Thank you, Chairman Soholt, members of the board. The Clean Water SRF intended use plan and the BIL addendum were public noticed as required, and all notices were completed correctly. Copies of the draft IUP and BIL addendum were included in the board packet for you to follow along with. I'll cover some of the main highlights of the 2024 Clean Water SRF IUP and BIL addendum. If there are questions as we go, please feel free to stop me and I'll do my best to answer those. The first couple pages of the intended use plan that were included in the board packet are kind of more of an outline of the overall program and EPA required information. Moving on to page 3 begins a discussion of the amounts available that can be transferred between both programs. In the 1996 Safe Drinking Water Act amendments, allows 33% of a drinking water SRF capitalization grants to be transferred to the Clean Water SRF or an equivalent amount from the Clean Water to the Drinking Water SRF. With our anticipated 2024 base program capitalization grant, we believe the ability would be to have $64.9 million that could be transferred from the Clean Water to the Drinking Water program, and nearly $63 million could be transferred from the Drinking Water Program to the Clean Water Program. This is outlined in more detail on Table 2, which is on pages 12 and 13 of the report. I would note we are not proposing any base program transfers in 2024 between the programs. Moving on to page 4 is the source of funds. This is where we get the funding for each year and new projects. Capitalization grant funds from EPA, we're anticipating the 2024 grant to be similar to what was 2023, $3.683 million, which would require $736,600 of state match, and we'd use bond proceeds for that match. Leverage funds, we have a large outstanding amount of loans out there that need to be funded, and we're anticipating that sometime in the next several months we'll be issuing probably in the neighborhood of $100 million of leverage bond funds for the clean water program. Borrower principal repayments, which is excess principal that comes in and available for reloaning, we're anticipating about $5 million during the year. And interest earnings from those loan repayments, estimating about $12 million becoming available to reloan during the year. On the bottom part of page four, we have a fairly lengthy discussion on additional subsidy and some of the requirements that are associated with that. Would note that back in March, the board approved administrative rule amendments, which raised the levels, minimum rate levels for additional subsidy up to $45 for 5,000 gallons usage for a municipality or sanitary district, and $70 for 5,000 for other applicants. Again, those are just the minimum rates and not necessarily an indication of where subsidy would be provided. Over onto page four, we continue to the discussion of additional subsidy. The 2016 through 2023 Appropriations Acts all required a minimum of 10% additional subsidy be used for, be available for principal forgiveness. This time we would continue providing that principal forgiveness to projects that meet the state's affordability criteria, which is outlined in the bottom half of page five. Table three on page 14 summarizes the principal forgiveness amounts that have been required from 2010 through 2024, and that those amounts are outlined for both BIL as well as the base program. Moving on to page six, we begin a discussion of green project reserve requirements. The green project reserve is something that's been congressionally mandated since 2010 as part of the Clean Water SRF program. We're required to attempt and make a good faith effort to fund not less than 10% of the capitalization grant amount of our funding for green project reserve projects. For the last several years, we've had some projects funded through our incentive, non-point source incentive rate financing, especially projects that are purchasing easements near some of those water bodies as part of 319 projects, and some other activities qualify for green projects, so we've been able to utilize that. We did have, Sioux Falls was doing a large wastewater treatment facility improvement and replacing a lot of old, more inefficient equipment with newer, better electrical efficiency. We were able to utilize a good chunk of money from that to also meet these requirements. So we have met all of our green project reserve requirements through 2023, and we anticipate that the 2024 grant will again require a 10% good faith effort to be made. Interest rates, this section is now outdated based on what the board just approved. So those interest rates that you just approved will be, this section of language will be slightly modified for the final, and table one over on page seven will be updated with the interest rates that were just approved by the board filled in. Those will also be addressed in attachment one, which is a list of projects on the intended use plan. The interest rates listed currently are the previous interest rates, and so those will be adjusted as well. Page seven, on the bottom half, begins a discussion of administrative surcharge activities, outlining some of the activities that we've utilized administrative surcharge funds from SRF loans interest payments for. If you go on to page eight is where we discuss the administrative surcharge uses plan for the upcoming year. A total of $2.7 million of administrative surcharge funds would be allocated. $2.2 million for supplementing the consolidated and Section 319 programs, with grants, an additional $500,000 to be used for to pay for planning district costs, to defray the costs of SRF application preparation and project administration, including Davis-Bacon wage rate verification. That's something we've have contracts in place for and communities find very beneficial. Moving on page 8, onto the bottom part, the capitalization grants from EPA. We have two different allowances we take in the clean water side. The first for administrative expenses, primarily related to staff costs and other program management costs. We can take one of three different options for that, amount equal to 4% of the total capitalization grant, $400,000, or 1/5% of the current valuation of the Clean Water SRF fund. BIL funding allows those same similar allowances to be utilized. The 2024 base capitalization grant, BIL supplemental grant, total 4% would be $593,320. 1/5% of the current valuation of the fund would be $541,500. And, or the flat $400,000 per year. As a result, we're recommending to use the full combined BIL and base grant, $593,320, which is $147,320 from the anticipated base grant and $446,000 from the anticipated BIL grant. A newer category that came in with the passage of the BIL funding was a 2% technical assistance set-aside amount that we can utilize from the grant. Previously, we had used some administrative surcharge fees to pay for small community planning district costs and a contract for some capacity development with Midwest Assistance Program that's been in place. Going forward, we're no longer proposing to use the administrative surcharge fees and instead proposing to use these capitalization grant funds for those same activities that are allowed. We did take some of those allocations in the 22 and 2023 capitalization grants, and there is a fair amount of funding unallocated at this point in time for those activities, so we're not proposing any new allocation for 2024. Pages 9 and 10 are information to certify to EPA certain activities and requirements that we will meet for them, as well as kind of an outline of the public notice that was taken for this. On to page 11. Again, pages 12 and 13 are the available funds to transfer between the programs. Page 12 is for the base SRF cap grants, and page 13 is for the BIL supplemental and BIL emerging contaminant available transfer funds. I'll discuss that a little bit more in the addendum at the end of this. Page 14 is the principal forgiveness available going back to 2010 for both the base program as well as the BIL funding, broken out into a couple different tables there. Pages 15 through 22 are what are known as Attachment 1, our project priority list. This is all projects currently on the intended use plan eligible to apply for Clean Water State Revolving Fund funds. Attachment 2 is on page 23. This is what we claim is Andy's crystal ball of what might happen in the upcoming year, and it's usually pretty hazy and gray and is usually proven to be wrong. I would note all the amounts there, and especially the principal forgiveness, are for planning purposes only. They are not any indication of an award recommendation to the board when those would come. There are 36 projects on that list totaling $254.5 million. $245.5 million. The last couple pages are what is known as Attachment 3, the program funding status, starting on page 25. Total funds dedicated to loan in the Clean Water SRF is a little over $1.125 billion so far. However, we have closed loans of $1.28 billion almost So as you can see, we do have a shortfall in funds from what we've awarded. That's expected with the cash flow model that we switched to, and that's why we will be going out to the bond market for getting those cash. The good part about that is we no longer have to have the cash on hand and paying on those bonds prior to sending the money out the door quite as much. So in the long run, it will be beneficial to us. I'm going to move on. The last page, 26 on that, and the main IUP is the emerging contaminants available funds. Again, we have not had any projects interested or eligible for these funds, so we have not requested our allocations for 2023 or 2024 at this time, and right now don't intend to unless we would get projects that are eligible, and we would be back to the board to discuss that. The BIL addendum is to discuss a little bit specifically those BIL funds associated with the Clean Water SRF. Total anticipated allotment of just under $12.2 million. That includes $11,150,000 for general supplemental funding. These projects, the eligibility of projects matches our normal SRF program. These are, just like they say, supplemental funds. One of the main distinctions probably is that 49% of the grant does have to be provided to disadvantaged or affordability criteria communities. Again, we have the ability to take funds for technical assistance on page 2 of the addendum. We did take some, as I noted, in 22 and 23 for small community planning grants and our current contract with Midwest Assistance Program. And there is sufficient funding, so again, we're not proposing any new allocation of funds for that. Administrative allowance, again, I went over the three different ways we can request those funds, and we'll be requesting at this time $446,000 be allocated from the BIL supplemental for administrative costs. BIL emerging contaminants funding, estimated $1,043,000 would be allocated to South Dakota for those types of projects. At this time, we have no projects meeting the criteria, and so we are not recommending any request or allocation of those projects. We do also have the ability to transfer money from the clean water to the drinking water. We did that in 22, so that is also a consideration if we would have projects that qualify for drinking water funding. The last couple pages are requirements that are part of BIL and information we primarily provide for EPA to assure them that we will meet certain requirements. So that is the highlights. I would note before I move on that I did receive one written comment very shortly before the board meeting. I have passed that out to the board members. It's in front of you. There are copies at the back table, and for Jackie and Jean online, I also sent you an email. Hopefully you saw that with those comments. Just wanted to make it clear we did get that right before. So with that, if there are questions, I'll stand by.
So Andy, can you give me an example of what, I know we didn't have any applicants, but on those emerging
contaminants funds? Yeah. So that's a unique one, especially on the clean water SRF side. It's been a little more challenging even. Primary focus of the emerging contaminants funds is PFOS, which you've certainly heard about out in your region. And this would be one of the challenges is EPA has said that the funds cannot be used to determine if you have an issue with PFOS or PFOS. It can only be used to address that issue. Many systems are still just learning whether or not and doing testing to learn if they have issues with that, especially on the wastewater side. And so we haven't seen much for interest in those funds at this time. We've looked into a few different things and continuing to learn more about it from EPA and other states that have maybe had a longer history with PFOS and PFOS than we have, but right now we haven't had anything come for clean water side.
Thank you.
We have anybody who wishes to testify to something on the Clean Water SRF intended use plan? Okay, we have a motion to approve the 2024 State Revolving Fund intended use plan.
So moved, Jones.
Second, Lanning.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comments or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. We will now consider the intended use plan for the drinking water SRF program. Andy will present the fiscal year 2024 drinking water SRF intended use plan. Andy.
Thank you, Chairman Soholt. Again, the drinking water intended use plan and BIL addendum were public noticed as required, and those notices were completed correctly. Copies of the draft intended use plan and BIL addendum, again, were included in the board packet. Cover the highlights of the 2024 drinking water SRF IUP and BIL addendum, and again, if there are questions, please feel free to stop me. Again, the first page and really first two pages of the are some environmental goals and primarily information generally outlining the intended use plan. Not a whole lot to cover there. On page three, we have some environmental results to review for FY 2023 actuals and some upcoming anticipated things for 2024. In 2023, we cover fund utilization rate, which is the percentage of executed loans to funds available. That was 109.2%, which exceeded our target rate. Based on switching to that cash flow model, which I mentioned before, we anticipate that fund utilization rate will remain over 100% for the foreseeable future, which is the way we set things up. Projects progression rate, which is the measure of disbursements as a percent of the closed loans that we have, was 70.6%, which was below our goal of 80%. I believe this was due to a large number of loans being executed, which included a significant amount of the American Rescue Plan Act grant funding. Those grant funds are being drawn before the SRF loans, so while the loan is available, those funds aren't being drawn, so our pace of spending out the SRF funds dropped it because of it. I'm hoping we see an increase of that construction pace up to around the 75% level for next year. 2024, looking at hopefully funding, it looks like around 34 loans, totaling about $146 million. We're estimating 53 projects initiating operations, which means construction completing during 2024. Doing approximately 10 small community planning grants, and having the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems provide around 1,400 hours of technical assistance on-site assistance to small systems. Moving on to page four is an interest rate discussion. Again, needs to be adjusted slightly based on action the board just took, and table one will be updated with those new interest rates, and attachment one, the priority list, will have the new interest rates adjusted for those projects. On the bottom of page four begins the administrative surcharge fee discussion, and getting into the primary use of those fees over onto page five, kind of about a third of the way down, begin the discussion, a total of $2.575 million of administrative surcharge fees being recommended for use, $500,000 again to the planning districts for application preparation, Davis-Bacon project administration throughout the project, $75,000 for operator certification training assistance. That's something the board's been doing for 10 years now, providing those allocations, and our drinking water program oversees that operator certification. And then also allocating $2 million of admin surcharge funds for supplementing the consolidated program with grants for drinking water facility construction. The bottom part of page five, we have a small system funding discussion. The Safe Drinking Water Act that approved the SRF program requires a minimum of 15% of all the dollars credited to the fund be used to fund what are, in EPA terms, small systems, and that's serving fewer than 10,000 persons, fairly large here. Since the inception of the program, we've awarded almost $568 million, meeting that threshold, and which is 42.6% of the total $1.33 billion in funds available for loans. So certainly met that requirement. 2024, the attachment two, the fundable list includes $146 million in total projects, and $71.9 million of those dollars go towards systems for less than 10,000, so again, would continue well above that 15% threshold. Page five, the bottom of it, is the discussion on transfers between the two SRF programs. Already discussed that in the Clean Water SRF, and we are not anticipating any program transfers of funds within the base program in 2024. On page six, the financial status, our sources of funds, capitalization grants, anticipating a 2024 grant similar to last year of just under $5 million, which would require just under $1 million in state match. Anticipating, again, probably around $100 million of leveraged bonds being issued in the drinking water program in the upcoming months. Borrower principal repayments, we are not anticipating excess principal repayments during this year. We'll need those for bond payments that we're making. And interest earnings, anticipating about $6.5 million in interest earnings becoming available. Moving on, over onto page seven is the discussion on additional subsidy principal forgiveness. A lot of information there, primarily related to the history of principal forgiveness and what the different allocations were throughout the years. That is summarized on table three on page 14, which includes both base program and BIL. We do anticipate the 2024 capitalization grant, much like the last couple years, will require 14% principal forgiveness be available to any borrower. And there is an additional discussion of disadvantaged community principal forgiveness later on here. In the drinking water SRF, we have four different set-aside allocations we can look at using each year. First is administration, or the 4% set-aside. We can also look at $400,000 per year, or the 1/5 of the current valuation of the fund. In looking at that and looking at the BIL supplemental grant funding, it makes a lot more sense in this case to just use the BIL supplemental funds for this set-aside activity. So we're not recommending any funds from the base capitalization grant be utilized. Similar for the small system technical assistance, the 2%, we would only be able to take $100,000, which doesn't make a lot of sense to use it when you can take almost 460 total if we wanted to from the BIL supplemental funding. So we'll be looking at those BIL funds, and I'll talk more about that here. The state program management, these are funds primarily to our DANR regulatory program for their public water system supervision to assist their staff costs. We can take up to 10% of the grant for those activities. Not recommending any from the base grant. We will be looking at that from the BIL supplemental. And then local assistance, this has historically been our contract with Midwest Assistance Program for capacity assessment for SRF borrowers and assisting them with their technical, managerial, financial capacity. And we'd again be looking at the BIL supplemental funds for those allocations. Moving on page 10 is the disadvantaged community subsidy. We have our disadvantaged community definitions. On the upper part, the affordability criteria And then the bottom part is the discussion of what principal forgiveness is required to disadvantage communities. When BIL was approved, it moved that a minimum of 12% of every year's cap grant had to be provided with a maximum of 35% as principal forgiveness to disadvantage communities. We've met that maximum in the past and intend that we would continue doing that into the future. So moving on, page 12, 13, again, are the transfer tables available between the base program, and then page 13 is the BIL supplemental and emerging contaminants. Page 14 is the principal forgiveness tables and the different pots of BIL funding at the bottom. I will note the amounts listed, especially for lead service line and emerging contaminants, are what the allocations would allow. And for 23 and 24, we have not taken or received any of those allocations listed. Pages 15 through 24 is our project priority list, attachment 1. This is all the projects eligible to apply for funding. Page 25 is attachment 2. Again, Andy's crystal ball of what we might see in the next year. And again, the principal forgiveness amounts especially are for planning purposes only and not any indication of a recommendation for funding. Page 26, 27, and 28 are program funding status. The first one is the main SRF regular funding base and BIL supplemental. Total funds dedicated to loan is about $733 million. Again, we've closed though over $800 million and have a significant amount of loans still unclosed. We are estimating on that attachment 2, again, it's about 34 projects and $146 million. So a fair amount of dollars being looked at. The next two pages, the emerging contaminants program funding. Again, we did in 22 take the 22 BIL drinking water allotment and the clean water SRF allotment and transfer the clean water into the drinking water. We have made one award from those funds. That was to Sioux Falls for a well 25 collector well. It's a PFAS impacted well field that this well provided supplemental water for. At this time, we don't have any other projects on the intended use plan that would utilize that, so we're not showing any recommendation for those funds, but that may change throughout the course of the year. The last, page 28, is the lead service line replacement funding. Again, we did request $1 million from EPA. That was for a Brookings lead service line replacement project. That is the only one that we've had on the intended use plan so far, and we funded that. Right now, not showing any allocations there. However, those lead service line inventories that have been presented to the board in the past are ongoing. I anticipate we will start seeing some lead service line replacement projects in the coming year. All right. The BIL addendum. Again, the total allotment from BIL for the year is anticipated to be about $59.2 million. That's about $22.9 million in supplemental funding, which eligibility's mirror the base program and is a nice upkick in the funds. We can take those set-asides that I mentioned before. Again, for administrative costs, we're recommending allocating $916,000 for those funds. Last year, we took a much lower amount and kind of anticipate we'll probably be up and down to make sure we get those funds spent. And we'll be watching that in the next year for sure. The small system technical assistance, allocating $200,000 for those activities. We do have a fairly good sized unallocated balance right now, so don't think we need to take the full $458,000 allowable, just based on what we've historically been able to utilize. State program management, again, this is DANR's public water supervision program. Recommending allocating $300,000 to those. That's the first time we've allocated funds to that in a few years, and they are going to be in need of those funds in the upcoming year. And the last set aside, looking at the local assistance over onto page 3 of the addendum, for $100,000, this would be for a contractor for technical, managerial, financial capacity for SRF borrowers. The emerging contaminants funding, total allocation estimated about $7,640,000. These again are primarily focused on PFAS, PFOS, but there are other emerging contaminants eligible. We do not have any projects again right now on the list, but that could certainly change. We are also not recommending use of any set-aside funding from the emerging contaminants, and I don't anticipate that changing. Lead service line funding, there would be up to $28,650,000 available, we anticipate, in 2024. Again, this is only for lead service line replacement, however, and that's seen a limited demand so far. So if we have a need, we have some substantial funds available to help with that. Again, not planning to utilize any set-aside funding for the lead service line replacement funds. The last two pages, again, are EPA-required information and other BIL-specific funding information to be aware of. If there, I would note, I did not receive any written comments on the drinking water SRF IUP, and if there are questions, I will do my best to answer them.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on the drinking water SRF intended use plan? In the audience or online? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the drinking water SRF intended use plan?
So moved, Gennert.
Second, Bernhard.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Item number 9. Still Andy.
Still Andy, but Andy's not going to talk quite as much this time, I promise. Item 9 is our State Water Resources Management System recommendations. The board annually provides recommendations to the state legislature and governor regarding deletions, additions, and retention of projects on the State Water Resources Management System component of the State Water Plan. On the title page, there are 11 projects currently included on the State Water Management System list, and I won't cover those in detail. We also do have a request from the Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System study and is a proposed addition to the State Water Resources Management System list. Before we ask the board to take action to approve a resolution making any recommendations, we're going to ask that we have three projects that have requests in for omnibus bill consideration. And we're going to ask those three projects to give the board a brief presentation. The first one up, we're going to go alphabetical, Dakota Mainstem. We have a couple representatives here for that, Ryan Johnson and Kent Rowe. So Ryan and Ken, come on up and we'll get your presentation up. Let Suzanne know.
Thank you, Amy. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for hearing us out. This is Ryan Johnson. My name is Kent Rowe. Ryan, you can...
Sure, my name is Ryan Johnson. I'm the utility administrator for the city of Sioux Falls and was recently elected as president of the executive board. And just like Kent said, thank you for having us up here and giving us the opportunity to speak and present. And thank you for your consideration on this funding request. We're going to break this into two pieces. Kent will give a little bit of a history lesson and where we're at with the Dakota Mainstem project, and then I'll take off on our next steps and where we would like to go.
I also serve on the sewer water system as a vice president, southeast of Watertown. Slide 2. It's critical for water providers to look to the future when it comes to addressing future water needs. Things that impact us are shortages, droughts. We also have economic development and the quality of the water, just to name a few. History shows there's a considerable length of time and cost to develop systems. Examples are Webb, that was 8 years, $108 million. Mid-Dakota, about 12 years and 170 million. Minnie-Waconee, 21 years, 400 million. Lewis and Clark, 22 years, 550 million. Winds, estimated cost in 22, 750 million. Western Dakota Regional Water System, probably north of a billion. Ours, we don't know. It's going to be big. It's going to be a lot. So knowing the length and time and cost necessary to bring projects together, in 22, we started to discuss what's next for Eastern South Dakota, whether it's basically from the river across Highway 14, spilling north, including southeastern Sioux Falls. With that in mind, we made a very concerted effort to reach out to systems, rural water systems and municipalities and engage their interest in exploring a water development, a regional water system to cover us, drawing water from the Missouri River. The primary goal is to augment and supplement or provide an alternative source of water for the municipalities. Now, addressing these concerns also opens up the doors for a lot of potential economic development. Where I'm from, South Watertown, we're seeing large dairies coming in like we have a shortage of milk. So anyways, slide three, please. Solicitation over several months in the general service area has kind of led us to discuss what's next, where are we going with this thing. And the map only depicts areas of the project that we are proposing to serve. We don't show any locations of pipelines or intakes. We're just kind of relying on the old engineers. You know, what they plan and what ends up ultimately being are often two very different things. So there's 29 member systems. Go to the next slide, please. There's 29 member systems, including major communities and regional water systems. This includes 17 regional water service providers and 12 municipalities. The approximate service population in this area, according to the South Dakota Department of Ag and Natural Resources Water Database, today is between 400,000 and 500,000 people. And they all drink water. This does not include anybody that didn't want to participate in discussions. There's some outlying municipalities and probably a water system or two that didn't participate. So collaboration amongst the agencies is important to Dakota Mainstem, and we feel this regional model is important to our success and a model that we'll continue to use into the future. Next slide. The formation of Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System, we filed our articles of incorporation in May of 23. Ryan and I were both signatures on that. We passed our unique set of bylaws in July of this year, and each of the 29 members has a representative on the board of directors. We created a 7-member executive board, as this is much more efficient than relying on the collective deliberations of a 29-member board. So, slide 6. Dakota Mainstem has a collaborative structure that emphasizes cooperation between municipalities and regional systems. Just as an example, Ryan's from Sioux Falls. I'm from Sioux. There are hundreds of thousands, and we're 5,000 or 6,000. So, and it's a collaboration of a lot of different sized communities. It's a good organization. The feeling is that this is our next step in regionalizing water sources as alternatives or augmented sources for water. So Brian's going to take us here.
Can we ask a question at this point in time?
Sure.
You go back to the original screenshot up there of the state of South Dakota. That one right there.
What was the criteria for developing that diagram?
Well, the river splits us east to west, and Webb and Winds, that's roughly their southern border there that itches across from, looks like Oneida area to up towards Siston. Does that answer your question?
Well, in part, what is the blank space on the western side of South Dakota and Northwestern?
I believe those are unserved. There's no rural water systems and no municipalities in that area.
Well, wait a minute.
There's none of the major rural water systems. There are some municipalities.
Yeah, I misspoke.
But it is, none of the major rural water systems are within that area. And this map is really more for what Dakota Mainstem is looking at, not looking at that side. That's the Western Dakota project that we'll hear from later.
It all is determined on the perception what is a major water supply, right? I can point out that Buttefield is a major water supply for 85 different consumers over, 300 or 400 square miles.
Buttefield would be talked about more by the Western Dakota regional system. You know, this map isn't intended to capture what Western Dakota regional system is looking at.
Yeah,
this map is really intended to look at what Dakota Mainstem is looking at down in this southeastern quadrant of the state.
I think you ought to put your criteria down on paper so people can look at it and judge what you did.
All right.
Seriously.
Well, that's a good idea.
There's going to be some upset people when they come and look at, you know, up in Harding County. Harding County doesn't have a rural water system?
No, they do not.
Harding County has probably 40, 35 local systems for the ranches up there. But yet they're not hooked together, so they're not considered as part of it, right?
Sir, I'm speaking in Dakota Mainstem in the south half of East River.
He's not talking statewide, and so you'll hear more about western side of the state from Western Dakota, but Harding County is not considered rural water systems.
I think people in Harding County, Meade County, my county would not agree with that.
They're private systems. Privately owned, there's a difference there.
We'll go to the next slide. We'll talk a little bit about the next steps. Currently, Dakota Mainstem has retained an engineer to help assist develop an RFP to identify the following task: the feasibility study, along with a needs assessment, and then from there would be a preliminary engineering report. The goal is to develop that, and then based on funding or approval of funding, we would go ahead and advertise that RFP to consultants to select one and then move forward with those tasks at hand. These basic documents are necessary for Dakota Mainstem to move to the next level and have federal government, possibly the Bureau of Reclamation, authorized to perform further study as required by their water development programs. We go to the next slide. We'll talk a little bit about what we feel the costs are for next year and then the following 2 years. Dakota Mainstem reached out to two very highly qualified engineering firms to try to develop cost estimates and what it would take over the next couple of years. We consolidated those costs, and in 2024, as mentioned, the first pieces would be to do a feasibility study along with a needs assessment, and then consolidate that into a preliminary engineering report. Total cost of those studies would in the range of $750,000. As far as administration, legal, and having promotional and government affairs and any other necessary auditing in the county and office type activities, the thought is that an estimate is $320,000, and so all in for 2024 is $1,070,000, and that ties into the request for 2024.
Okay, so I'll ask, what do you consider the output of the 2024 study?
So as far as needs, the thought is to start reaching out to the different municipalities and the rural water providers to take a look at where they're at currently and what their projected needs are going forward in 10, 20, 30, 40 years and beyond. And so that'll get the needs assessment portion of it done. The feasibility study starts taking a look at where those pockets of needs are and starts putting lines on paper on what would it take to serve and meet those needs. And so we start developing costs to take a look at that. And then all of this parlayed and pulled together as a preliminary engineering report to share the results of those studies so we have something we can bring forward to the next round of funding and really take a hard look at what it'll take to get this project off the ground and moving forward. So moving beyond 2024, with those efforts done, going into 25 and 26, the thought is to continue with our engineering coordination in that $200,000 range, continue our start cultural and environmental resource reports, that's in that $500,000 estimate. Other pre-construction activities as far as boundary research and some surveys is in that $500,000 range. And then 2 years of an additional administration and legal, so that $320,000 per year times two is $640,000. And so we're estimating a need in 2025 and 26 of $1.84 million. And so over the next 3 years, the thought for the need is $2.91 million. Again, our hope is to continue moving forward with this funding and with the support of this board through 2024. With that, we would be happy to take any questions you may have.
Put that last graph on the screen, please. That one there. Let me see. Yeah, that one right there. What do you consider the output, necessary output of the 2025 to 2026 study, report, analysis, or whatever? What's the output?
So that's going to be just continuation of the research that was being completed in 2024, and it's all a part of the funding application process to receive funding through the Board of Bureau of Reclamation.
You call it research, or is it evaluation of the existing systems? What's necessary? It's research because you're into something new. I haven't gone through the one review field myself personally, which is a much, much, much smaller. I would say you're underfinanced here. I think it's going to cost a lot more money to do what you want to do then. And to have it categorized and have it produced and for people to read.
I won't speak on behalf of other folks that are putting numbers together and advising. I would feel the same way. I feel like this is just our first step in much larger and bigger things.
What's this man's comment right here? What's your comment?
Mr. Chair. Jay Gelbertson with East Dakota Water Development District, and like the two gentlemen, I was part of the original board, but have now moved off because East Dakota doesn't sell water. That's what you've got to be a member. But I, you know, the initial, you know, what the initial costs are going to be. We need to have a number to turn in. They need to have a number to ask for assistance. Andy doesn't like something. Just we'll take it all. It's rarely
blank checks
well.
Don't work that way.
Yeah, blank checks don't work. And so they have to start somewhere. They have basically all of the public water supply systems in that area that's shown on the map. We need to look at who thinks they're going to need what and how it might be. It may well be, as with Lewis and Clark, which is somewhat of the model for all these things, that some systems will look at that and decide that this is not the best answer for them and they will drop off. But this is a starting point. Everyone's involved, everyone's moving forward, the water development districts for that whole area are all contributing as they had on the western side of the state. And it's the starting point, everybody's working. The goal is to get whatever assistance that can be had through the the swarm system at this point to start that process rolling forward. But as I've heard repeatedly during this conversation, any resemblance of the original plan and the final output will be purely coincidental.
Well, my question back again, looking at that other diagram of the state where you have the white portion that takes over in the western, northwestern part of South Dakota, there's a need for water there. Why do you exclude that? If just because they don't have a water system, you're going to exclude that from
Dr.
the study?
Dr. Gennert, that is more part of what has been looked at through the Western Dakota Regional Water System. Dakota Mainstem is not looking at that part of the state because they're down in the southeast quadrant, just like WINS, which is the next project, is up in the northeast quadrant. Western Dakota has taken the stance of looking more at the western part. There's just realities of the facts that, you know, there's no real sense in systems on the East River looking at the West River side because that river is a big dividing line. We'll hear more from Western Dakota Regional Water System in a few minutes, and they do have a large part of that area, I believe, included within what they're looking at for their feasibility study.
I also have a question specific to this one. Other than the funding, what is the opposition to this?
There's little.
It's all very new. It's hard to have opposition.
It's just a new idea, and you talked earlier about PFAS, PFAS. You know, that's a threat that's not limited just to where we know it's at. Water's, without jumping into the pick zone and all these things, you know, the state has a right to the water. There's a definite need for water coming, and it just gets bigger every day. Ryan's works for the city of Sioux Falls. We were speaking earlier about just the city of Sioux Falls plans. I mean, I don't know if that answers your question or not. But.
Anything else?
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Clinton Powell with Pinpoint Engineering. I helped develop some of the cost estimates for the initial study stuff. And so just a little background on how we came up with part of that. So I'd worked for the Bureau of Reclamation for about 15 years prior to going to work for Pinpoint Engineering. So we're fairly confident when you start to look at how those numbers come together with those 2024 numbers that you're really looking at what on the federal side we call an appraisal study. So it's really high level, really looking at from a user standpoint, does a project even make sense? If it does make sense, how do you finance a project of that size and start to develop what those alternatives are? When you look at the 2025 and 2026 funding levels, it really starts to dig into part of the feasibility study side of that. So specifically then, what are water needs that are out there? How would you go about meeting those water needs inside of the alternatives? But I want to be clear, when we look at those 2025 and 2026 needs that are put out there, that's not necessarily a full evaluation of each one of the wholesale water systems that are a part of Dakota Mainstem. And so you're not necessarily going in and doing water projections or economic development projections for each of the member systems. You're really consolidating data that exists within those systems to make sure that you've looked at the right alternative and then start to lay out what that preferred alternative is, start to look at whether that preferred alternative can get through from an environmental standpoint and an engineering standpoint. And so it's not necessarily as deep dive as what you're potentially seeing with some of those other systems, just because that some of those needs are a little bit more defined with some of the water users if you're looking at providing wholesale water to some of those other systems.
I think you'll find it interesting regarding opposition. I can tell you that myself and President Larry Gossard of Viewfield went to the city of New Underwood and proposed that the two water systems, which are only separated by 3/8 of a mile, have a common point. And we have the valves in there and all the rest of it, because we have more water than they have by a long time. And we were turned down flat. And if at all together, their charge of water, if we needed water, was almost double our rate. They were just not interested. You have a lot better success with nonprofit.
These things take time. I mean, there's 29 current members. Doesn't mean there will be 29 members at the end of the day. So that's what I would leave it with. And I guess unless you guys have anything else to add, we'll move on to our next forms presentation.
Thank you.
The next State Water Resource Management System request that we've got and asked to give a little presentation to the board is WINS, Water Investment in Northern South Dakota. We have a fair amount of representatives from the three partners, Webb Rural Water, Angie Hamrick is here, BDM Rural Water, and some of their board members, along with Webb's board members, and their manager, Rod Kappas, and then City of Aberdeen, Robin Bobzien, is in the back of the room as well. So a fair amount of other people, and Angie, I'll turn it over to you.
Like Andy said, I'm Angie Hamrick. I'm the general manager of Webb Water. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today to discuss the WINS project with you. The goal of the WINS project is to provide Northeast South Dakota with additional water capacity from a high-quality, reliable source. This project does involve Webb, Aberdeen, and BDM. A brief history of each system, I think, is necessary to provide some context. For Webb, over the last several years, we have been in the process of working on projects of improving and eliminating geographic moratorium areas. These projects are under construction now. In October 2021, Webb submitted its state water plan for the next phase of projects in our long-range plan, which would work to eliminate the system-wide bulk moratorium that we had in place. For Aberdeen, also in 2021, Aberdeen had conducted a feasibility study to construct a raw water line from the Missouri River to its treatment plant and had submitted a state water plan. The city had been looking for additional source water for years. Many economic development opportunities have been lost due to the lack of water in Aberdeen and the surrounding area. For BDM, BDM continues to grow annually in the number of hookups and millions of gallons of water sold each year. Due to poor water quality and insufficient quantity in some areas, more area residents and farmers are requesting rural water. In addition, they've had requests for larger commercial ag opportunities, which would stretch BDM's capacity. So slide two, going on. The WINS project was born out of the water needs of Webb, Aberdeen, and BDM. It will provide much needed treated Missouri River water to Northeast South Dakota for years to come. Next slide. The next step was to conduct a feasibility study. This study yielded three alternatives to deliver Missouri River water across the region. The most beneficial alternative integrated the WINS project into Webb's existing water system. Next slide. As it turned out, Webb was in the final bid review on 13.9 miles of parallel mainline for the moratorium improvement project. The mainline was also necessary for the WINS project. All that was needed was to increase the pipe diameter to accommodate the WINS project capacity, and Webb included a bid alternate for the upsize. This became A1 Part 1 as shown here. Including engineering, the low bid on segment A1 Part 1 was approximately $37 million, and the state has awarded a little over $24 million in ARPA grant funds. Construction on Part 1 is now underway. Segments A1 Parts 2 and 3 are to be constructed next in the WINS project. We'll go to the next slide. Segment A1 Part 2 consists of an additional 8 miles of 48-inch pipe with an estimated cost of $33.2 million. The state has awarded a $14 million ARPA grant for this part. Going to the next slide, we have A1 Part 3. It is an additional 8.7 miles of 54-inch pipe with an estimated cost of $42.6 million. The state has not yet awarded any ARPA grant funds for this part. Plans and specifications for Parts 2 and 3 will be submitted by Danner's March 1, 2024 deadline. The construction of Parts 2 and 3 can be completed by the ARPA deadline. The result would be 30 miles of WINS project being complete, and based on current modeling, would allow the delivery of some water to Aberdeen. I just want to say thank you for the SWARMS funding that has already been awarded to this project. I also cannot stress enough how critical any additional funding is to the future of tens of thousands of Northeast South Dakota residents and the long-term economic viability of the region and the state. As an update, the project entities met this week and had a very productive meeting as was working towards a formal agreement. Again, I want to say thank you for your consideration, and if there's any questions.
Just an engineering question, just because I don't know. You talked about going from a 24-inch or a 20-inch to a 54.
Did I say 20? It was 48.
Okay. isn't it geared to go from smaller pipe to larger pipe? Or is it the other way around?
So in which particular section? So if we're in currently on the A1 part one, we originally had a 30-inch pipe design. And we went to a 49.5-inch. So the pipe itself, just the diameter increased from 30 to 49.5-inch.
Okay.
So it's a parallel pipe. So it's next to the existing 30-inch that we have going from the intake to Highway 12 and 83.
Okay. So just for me, you know, not an engineer, but it seems like you would go from larger pipe continuing down to smaller pipe as opposed to the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just looking at it.
You're
talking kind of, so we have a 30-inch pipe and a 49.5-inch pipe, but over here we have a 54-inch pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some engineering reasons
yeah.
for that, and maybe that helps
so
you.
Maybe I can go a little bit farther. The reason these particular sections were chosen is because they're choke points in Webb's existing system. And so in order to get more flow, more bang for your buck, if you will, sooner, the way this has been designed is by the size of pipe in these particular areas, because they're not contiguous, they're not next to each other, there are certain sections along the way. Eventually the entire route has to be parallel, but this for now gives us more capacity sooner.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for the help.
I didn't understand that first either, but we got it.
Anything else?
So I'm confused here. Maybe clarify. I thought the original, is this part of the original Webb project that
no.
was put together about 30 years ago?
It was actually authorized in 1980. Construction began in 1983, so it's
only 50 years ago.
Well, we're getting there. 40, yeah. So this is a parallel line to the main Webb system. So this is like the next, the parallel line that goes next to that. So that, if that makes sense.
At that point in time when it was proposed, was there a study done of how much water would be needed out in that part of the world and all the rest and the size of piping and all
yes,
the rest?
Yes, there was. Yes.
There was?
Yes.
But the only thing that got constructed was that ditch just...
Well, that's what started.
That's how it started. East of the Missouri River, right?
That started and then it turned into the Webb project.
I mean, Webb has an existing 30-inch line that goes basically from the river to near Aberdeen, Mina, pretty much.
Well, Mina, and then it goes north of Aberdeen.
And goes
and
north.
Mm-hmm.
This is primarily paralleling that for what Webb needs to meet Aberdeen's needs, which Aberdeen is not currently connected to the system. Those were decisions made 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to also, in the future, meet additional service needs of BDM, rural water, on the far eastern side of it.
Right.
So,
right.
This line will allow that ability.
Correct.
Great.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have one more Swarms presentation. I'm hopeful that we still have Dale Tech on the line, the Western Dakota Regional Water System. Dale, are you out there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We will turn it over to you.
Very good. Thank you, Andy. Good afternoon, members of the board, DNR staff, and other guests. My name is Dale Tech. I'm the Secretary Treasurer of the Western Dakota Regional Water System. I have a brief 462 slideshow for you here this afternoon. Actually, that's not true. It's about 10 slides. We'll get through it, and hopefully I'll be able to answer some questions that were previously brought up. Next slide, please. A little bit of background about how we're organized. We're just a bit ahead of Dakota Mainstem. We were originally organized in the summer of 2021, incorporated. Our membership, the slide says 21 current members, but as of Monday night, we've added Fort Pierre, I believe, to our membership. We've got a couple of different classes of voting members, which is any entity that delivers water to consumers. And then non-voting members are any interested entities and individuals. Our board meets monthly, and we've been doing so diligently since our inception. Next slide, please. Here's our current board. As you can see, it's made up of municipalities as well as rural water systems and sanitary districts as well. So we move on a little further in the presentation. We'll show kind of the canvassing efforts and the entities that we've been making contact with. Next slide, please. This slide represents why we exist and why it's important to supply Missouri River water to western South Dakota. The original slide that indicates the water budget here was developed by the South Dakota Mines in 2019, and they've revised the data showing our rapid growth in western South Dakota as of this year. Basically, the red line at the bottom, dry conditions, green line, average precipitation, water availability conditions, and green line, wet conditions, or blue line, wet conditions. As you can see with our projected growth, it's a number of years before water is going to become even more scarce to supply the needs of western South Dakota. Next slide, please. Just like the topography of western South Dakota, our project roadmap is full of interesting twists and turns and exciting challenges. Currently, we are canvassing systems in western South Dakota to identify their needs and how they can benefit from Missouri River water. Our engineering team has also been looking at pipeline concept design, raw water intake options, and also we've had a very comprehensive outreach and information effort trying to get the word out to people that may or may not know about our project, as well as getting them involved in joining the organization as well. Next slide, please. And this is the map of western South Dakota, showing that it is our intention to serve all of western South Dakota. The blue dots that you see there are known water systems. Certainly, we want to reach out to every single one of them, try to get an idea of what their needs are, how they can benefit from western Dakota regional water system, when we get constructed. In addition to that, we've also contracted with the USGS to do additional studies of what water availability is in western South Dakota, existing aquifers, and try to get a better idea of what our water budget truly is in western South Dakota. Next slide, please. Our financial position, we did receive an ARPA grant in 2022 of $8 million, and that is for the engineering studies involved. As I mentioned earlier, the pipeline route assessment, if you will, as well as other technical evaluations. And then also we received a SWARMS package last year, and that has been for the administrative, legal, and non-ARPA eligible funds. We had a very successful local match effort that raised approximately $303,000 last year. The SWARMS allocation for this year we're hopeful to receive and build on the excitement that we've had from many people in Western South Dakota to get that local match. We'd originally identified about $13 million of project funding necessary through 2026 to assemble all the technical data to be able to proceed on to Bureau of Reclamation feasibility study. And I'll talk about that a little bit here, I think, in the next slide. Actually, it'll be the one after, but next slide, please. And these are the four questions that water systems really need to know. Jay Gilbertson, I think, spoke a little bit earlier, and he basically said this very thing. The four fundamental questions of a water system is who needs the water, how much do you need, when do you need it, and how much it's going to cost. And we are just getting started on all of these questions, and we're excited about that. I know Dakota Mainstem is going to follow the same pathway, and this is the basics of building a project. Next slide, please. Additional funding, of course, we got started with a grant from West Dakota Water Development District, who commissioned the School of Mines to do the study to see what the need for water in Western South Dakota was. We did receive also a grant from the South Dakota Community Foundation, Elevate Rapid City, and then obviously work done by School of Mines. For 2022 and 2023, I've already mentioned the ARPA funding received as well as the previous SWARMS allocation, the local match. And then we have also requested federal funding through our congressional delegation for the Bureau to do a feasibility study. And we're hopeful and excited to receive additional SWARMS funding in 2024. Next slide, please. And I'd like to thank you for your past, current, and future support of this project, and I'll stand by for any questions.
There are no questions from the board. The action that staff is recommending at this time for this item is approving a resolution recommending the retention of all current projects on the State Water Resources Management System list and the addition of the Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System Study to the list. This recommendation by the board resolution recommendation will be incorporated within the department's omnibus bill, which will go to the legislature for approval of the projects on the State Water Resources Management System list.
Very good. We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Bernhardt will move approval.
Second.
Drew. Second. Gunnar.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 10, omnibus bill funding recommendations. Tina.
Get my slide presentation. Chairman Sobel, members of the board. The board annually conducts a public meeting to take statements from interested parties regarding the water and waste funding needs. A board resolution is developed to recommend funding levels to the governor and the legislature for individual water resources management system projects, the consolidated program, the solid waste program, and other special appropriations for water development. In the board packet, were documents that we included the water environment flowchart, the LIO distribution flowchart, and petroleum release compensation take inspection fee flowchart. Staff has prepared these documents based on the history of actual revenues and inspected future revenues for the state
for fiscal year 2024 and 2025. So first, we're going to do a quick overview of how the board has awarded past appropriations approved by the legislature. This pie chart is for the water funding. The pie chart represents approximately $299.9 million that has been appropriated into the dedicated water funding account. The chart also shows the breakout of the awards by categories since 1993. South Dakota Codified Law 46A-1-93 prioritizes the award of dedicated water funding for the development of public water systems. The percentage of awards for regional drinking water projects is 46.0%, while awards to municipal drinking water projects is 13.2%. Moving on to the solid waste fees, since 1993, $65.5 million has been appropriated from solid waste fees for the solid waste management program. 56.2% of those fees have been awarded to solid waste disposal projects, 17.4% to waste tire, and 26.4% to recycling projects. Since the dedicated funding sources were established in the early 1990s, the combined dedicated water funding and solid waste fees have provided more than $365 million for water and waste projects throughout South Dakota. So before going over the available funds for appropriation, I wanted to cover some key points for the 2024 omnibus bill. The bill authorizes special appropriations for the state fiscal year 2025, but also includes an emergency clause which allows the funds to become immediately available to the board once the bill is signed by the governor. The funds will be available for four fiscal years or through June 30th, 2028. Available funds are based on actual revenues received through June 30th of 2023 and includes revenue projections for both state fiscal year 2024 and 2025. We're going to start with the water and environment flow chart. This illustrates the flow of revenue deposits into the water environment fund, where sources of revenue are represented with circles and the funds created by the legislature are squares. First, we will look at the online lottery ticket and take inspection revenue sources, which are major contributions to the capital construction fund. So we'll start with the lotto revenue, which comes from five games, with the four being multi-state games, which are the Powerball, Mega Millions, Lucky for Life, and Lotto America. The fifth lotto game is Dakota Cash, which is only played in South Dakota. The lotto distribution pie chart shows that 50% of lotto funds is for prizes, 20% is for the administration, commissions, and vendors, and the remaining 30% gets distributed between the general fund and the capital construction fund. In 2023, we received just over $1.66 million in the water environment fund. In 2025, 30% of net lottery revenues will be distributed to the capital construction fund. Of that, a total of 64% or a projected $1.55 million is expected to be received by the water environment. On the next slide is the petroleum release compensation tank inspection fee flow chart. The petroleum release compensation and tank inspection fee is created through South Dakota Codified Law 34A-13-20. In 2018, Senate Bill 183 created a new fund called the Ethanol Infrastructure Incentive Fund and changed the revenue distribution percentages annually. 2023 was the final year of percentage allocation adjustments for these fees, And going forward, the fee distribution will remain at the 2023 percentages unless changed by the legislature. The percentage going to the capital construction fund is 81.5%. And it is expected in 2025 that $14.3 million of the projected tank inspection fees will be contributed or distributed to the capital construction fund. Of that total, 64% or $9.15 million will be distributed to the water and environment fund. On this slide, we can see that the revenue history of the tank inspection fees and the lottery revenue since fiscal year 2017. You can see by the slides that the tank inspection fees are more stable, while the lottery revenue varies from year to year. As we have mentioned in the past, the changes of Senate Bill 183 created in 2018 have been beneficial to our program and have had an overall positive impact as we are able to rely on the steady revenues of the tank inspection fees and have not had to rely on as much on the irregular lottery revenues. Shown on the graph are the deposits for the tank inspection fees increasing since the implementation of Senate Bill 183. While the deposits for the lotto revenue have been decreasing. All right. This is the updated flowchart with the lotto tank inspection fee projections. Shows the transfer of nearly $10.7 million into the Water and Environment Fund for in state fiscal year 2025. On this slide, we summarize the remaining funds available for appropriation and the breakdown of the revenue between the water and solid waste funding. Going into fiscal year 2025, staff is estimating an overall surplus of $620,000. It is estimated that there will be $10.7 million in transfers to the dedicated water fund from the capital construction fund, which we just discussed in previous slides. $75,000 of contractor's excise tax is expected. The loan repayments and interest revenues deposited into the fund and solid waste, into the water and solid waste funds are estimated at $780,000. And finally, the dedicated solid waste fees coming from the tipping fees and tire fees total an estimated $1.925 million. Adding the estimated revenue brings the total amount available for appropriation to $14.1 million, with nearly $2.5 million available for solid waste funding and $11.6 million dedicated for water funding. The next slide, we have completed all of our transfers. It is the complete updated flowchart detailing the revenue projections into the Water Environment Fund, which was provided, this slide was provided in your board packet. Now I'll briefly go over our SWARM's recommendations. These are in the same order as the presentations that we just saw for Dakota Main STEM, WINS, and Western Dakota Regional System. For Dakota Mainstream Regional Water System, staff is recommending a $1 million to assist in the completion of the comprehensive needs assessment. For WINS, staff is recommending a $5 million to assist the completion of this project to provide water throughout Northeast South Dakota. As you can see, since 2022, the board has awarded grants and loans totaling almost $84 million towards this project. So this will be in addition to those $84 million in funding. And then for the Western Dakota Regional Water System Project, staff is recommending a $1 million Water and Environment Fund grant
to assist with the completion of the feasibility study. So as you can see, in 2022, the board approved the $8 million ARPA grant, and last year in the omnibus bill, approved a $1 million grant. So, so far the board has supported $9 million towards this project. Now that we've estimated the funding levels for funds available, we'll cover the staff's proposed appropriation levels. The staff is proposing the $7 million we just discussed for the State Water Resources Management System, the SWARMS projects. $4.6 million for the consolidated program, and $2.5 million for the solid waste program. This totals $14.1 million in appropriations. Next slide. The water and environment subfunds for the Clean Water SRF program and the Drinking Water SRF program were established by the South Dakota Codified Law 46A-1-60.1. Through the public meeting of the intended use plans earlier today, funds were identified for the purposes authorized by the federal acts, and the omnibus bill provides budget authority for the expenditure of these funds to include the federal drinking water and clean water SRF set-asides. Because these are special appropriations that vary annually, the preferred method to address budget authority is through the omnibus bill rather than through DANR's annual operating budget. So basically, this what Andy presented and the intended use plans is the money that we are allocated and what we've requested. This through the omnibus bill, we are getting the authority from the legislature to actually spend that funding that we have been received. The 2024 Clean Water Intended Use Plan identified $2.9 million in funds for expenditure authority. For $2.2 million in water quality grants, these funds will provide grants for the construction of sanitary and storm sewer infrastructure projects, and will also supplement the Section 319 program by providing assistance for watershed projects. $500,000 will be used for the Clean Water SRF application and project administration assistance through the planning districts. In addition to those funds, we are now allowed to take that 2% set aside from the Clean Water SRF capitalization grant, funds of which $200,000 will be used for small community planning grants and small community capacity assistance. The 2024 Drinking Water Intended Use Plan identified $2.8 million in expenditure authority. $2 million will be provided for the drinking water construction grants to supplement the consolidated program. $500,000 will be allocated for drinking water SRF application and project administration assistance through the planning districts. Under the small system technical assistance and local assistance set asides, $300,000 will assist in providing funding for small community planning grants, the small system technical assistance contract, and the capacity assessment assistance contract. And then this final slide, and I apologize, it's a little hard to read, is the summary of our total special appropriations that we have discussed. It is the staff's recommendation to approve the resolution recommending to the governor and the state legislature the Water and Environment Fund fiscal year 2025 appropriation levels as outlined here today.
Thank you.
Any questions?
We have a motion. Let's go to. We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Gennard.
So we have a motion and a second. Any additional comment or question? Well, did a good job.
Thank you.
All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Don't worry about that one. Motion carried. Thank you.
Are you nervous?
I Item number 11, state fiscal year 2023 investment update. Casey.
Did you pay the state?
All right, thank you, Chairman Stoholt and members of the board. I'm going to provide you a recap of the SRF investments and investment returns from state fiscal year 2023. All balances shown are as of June 30th, 2023. Listed on the slides are... Oh, next slide, please. Listed on the slide are two guaranteed investment contracts. The first one contracted in 2001 and then again in 2004. Is for 5.07% with a max investment amount of $60 million in the revenue fund. This GIC had approximately $61 million invested as of June 30th, 2023. The additional amount above the $60 million are funds in the bond fund, which are set aside to pay the next bond payment, which is allowable in the contract. The second guaranteed investment contract was negotiated in 2005 for 4.41% with a maximum investment amount of $80 million in the revenue fund, which is also maxed out with $83.5 million. The additional amount above the $80 million are again funds in the bond fund. That brings the total amount that was invested in the guaranteed investment contracts to $144.5 million. Excellent. Other investment balances include $100.6 million in the U.S. Treasuries, $74.7 million in agencies, and $126 million in federated money market funds. That brings the total investment balances to $445.9 million. Please note that amounts shown in this presentation are amounts deposited and not necessarily earned in state fiscal year 2023. The guaranteed investment contracts investment deposits totaled $6.7 million. U.S. Treasury bonds totaled 333,000, agency bonds totaled 1.1 million, and federated totaled nearly 3.9 million. This brought the total amount of interest deposits to $12.6 million, which was an almost $4 million increase from last year. This slide is a summary of the investments and the investment returns. The middle column is the yield of the investments held as of June 30th, 2023. The guaranteed investment contracts yield the contracted amounts of 5.07% and 4.41%. The dollar amounts invested in U.S. Treasuries were yielding at 4.57%, agencies at 4.362%, and the federated at 3.68%. Both Treasuries and agencies are listed as yield to maturity at cost. As of June 30th, the district had approximately $1.4 billion in obligations. So, here I want to share with the board some loan portfolio numbers. As of June 30th, 2023, there were 493 loans in repayment with an outstanding principal loan balance of just under $595 million. In state fiscal year 2023, the district received nearly $65.7 million in loan repayments, of which $51.4 million was principal, $10.9 million was interest, and nearly $3.2 million was admin surcharge fees. On a final note, as per our investment policy, we are required to do a periodic review of the policy. Staff, along with PFM, has done the required periodic review of the investment policy, and it was determined that no changes were needed to be made. This concludes my recap of the investment returns. I can try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Casey. I know we're glad we've got you in that spot. Thank you. Item number 12, 2023 annual report and 2024 water plan. Andy.
Quite rid of me. Chairman Soholt, members of the board, in accordance with South Dakota Codified Laws 46A-2-2, 46A-1-10, and 46A-1-14, an annual report and state water plan is to be presented to the legislature and the governor by the first day of the legislative session. The report that is in front of you and was included in the board packet is similar in format to the report that was presented last year. The annual report provides a brief description of the activities that have been undertaken by the board during calendar year 2023 and includes tables detailing the funding awards approved by the board throughout the year. The board awarded more than $288.7 million in grant and loan funding for planning, design, and construction of municipal drinking water, wastewater, lake and watershed restoration, rural water, solid waste disposal, and recycling projects. These awards were critical in having environmental projects being completed across the state. The state water plan component of the report identified the projects approved for placement onto the 2024 facilities plan and provides information for projects on the state water resources management system. The board placed 42 projects that I presented earlier onto the facilities plan, bringing the total number of projects on the 2024 state water facilities plan to 390. Projects that have received funding from the board remain on the facilities plan until project completion and remain eligible to request additional funding if costs increase. The state water resources management system component of the state water plan includes the 11 existing projects on the list and general information regarding those projects. The final version of the report will provide the recommendations in the omnibus bill, which were just presented, and submits those to the governor and legislature on the funding levels for various water and solid waste projects, the programs, and activities. The board's recommendations for the SWRMS list designations, the funding levels for projects, programs, and activities, and the Water Environment Fund special condition statement are provided as appendices to the report. Staff's recommendation is for approval of the 2023 annual report and the 2024 state water plan, and to authorize the staff to print and distribute the report to the state legislature, governor, and other interested parties on behalf of the board.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Bernhardt.
Second, Gunnar.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any question or discussion? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Item number 12.
Good afternoon, Chairman Sohol, members of the board. On September 6th, staff received a letter regarding Brookings Dual Rural Water Systems release of mortgage request. Brookings Dual Rural Water is preparing to sell a portion of the land to the South Dakota Department of Transportation. This lot was mortgaged to the South Dakota Conservancy District on January 17, 2006, as a contingency of drinking water SRF loan C462-453-02, and is also included on contingencies for the newer drinking water loans C462-453-03 and C462-453-04. The Department of Transportation requested to use this lot as a part of a right-of-way agreement in order to construct, operate, and maintain highway facilities. The system understands the need for the lot to be sold and has requested that the board allow a partial release of mortgage on the plot of land so it can be sold. This will not have any reflection on the rates or funding. Our recommendation is to authorize a partial release of mortgage.
Motion to follow staff recommendation.
So moved, Generic.
We have a motion and a second. Any question or comment? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. Item number 14.
Good afternoon, board members and board president Soholt. Today I'm going to be talking about Emory Project Scope Amendment. On April 13, 2022, the City of Emory was awarded a $374,100 clean water SRF loans and a $2,119,900 American Rescue Plan Act grant for the storm sewer improvement project. On September 27, 2023, the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources received a letter from the City of Emory requesting the scope of the CWSRF loan C461248-02 and ARPA grant 2022G-ARP-135 to be amended. The City of Emory was denied access to its original proposed route to discharging site. Therefore, a new storm sewer route is necessary. and the staff's no additional funding will be will be needed. So our staff's recommended action will be amend the scope of their Clean Water SRF loan C461248-02 and ARPA grant 2022G-ARP-135 to the proposed wastewater treatment plant work.
Thank you. We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
So move, Bernhard.
So move, Jones.
We have a motion and a second. Any comment or question?
Question.
Okay.
So, Karen, the denial was because, was it going to private property?
Yeah, so one of the landowner that's on the original proposed route, they denied city's access. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very good. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you. Item 15.
All right. So for our next meeting, we have it scheduled for January 4th, 2024. Some things that are planned for this upcoming meeting. We have a couple applications for funding to review. We are also going to award our or make a selection of a contractor for the capacity development contract that we requested in RFP during our last meeting. We will have presentations on the federal fiscal year clean water SRF and drinking water SRF report, and also some 319 program updates.
You see it as an afternoon meeting?
That's what we're expecting.
Okay. Thank you. One comment before we move to adjourn. This meeting with all of the statistics, all of the numbers, all of the percentages, all of the changes in funding, all the additional funding requests, all of that, it just shows and demonstrates how capable our staff is and how much, and we want you to know as a board, how much we appreciate what all the work behind the scenes that you do. So that when we come to the board meeting, you know, we just have to say, we know that it's right. We know that it's good. We know that you wouldn't bring it to us unless it was worthy of being approved. So I just want to say thanks. And an afternoon like today, I want to say thanks to the board for those that drove here and those that were online for the afternoon. Much appreciated. And since almost everybody has left, I want to thank them also for everybody being in attendance this afternoon. So thank you very much. And now we're looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Gennert.
Second, Jones.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 We are adjourned.